And we're live. Welcome to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. We have not been on the air in, it feels like, 37 years. Harrison, how have you held up in our absence?
I've just been sitting here waiting to go online. You told me like a month ago we were going to have a podcast, and you just kept telling me, like, hold on, like, we're going to start in a few minutes, but... it's been a long wait.
So for those wondering why Harrison is so skinny, he's actually malnourished because he's been sitting at his computer for a month.
I didn't have a lot of food in my room, but I didn't want to leave because, you know, like, what if you started? Like, then I waited for nothing and I'm just going to look stupid when I come barging back in.
We also had a shocking development. The Robert Sacre jersey that those of you are used to seeing in the background, or even the murder sheet that you're used to seeing in the background, they have both given way to a Julius Randle jersey. It's a welcome change, Harrison. It looks much better.
Hey, and that actually gives us a good segue to people listening on iTunes, hopefully, now that we have been approved. That will be up later. You cannot see anything that we're talking about or understand any of these references, and you can tell we're still really new at this, but we did want to announce we have officially, as we were getting set to go on air today, been approved for iTunes, so you'll be able to catch us there and bring us with you in your car if, you know, you're really into puns on the road and you just can't get enough. Or, you know, Lakers news even, but,
yeah, and on that same note, we got our first sponsor, you know, because we're big time with iTunes, we got our first sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by Spiderwebs for the ninja in all of us. Da, da, da. So we will segue awkwardly from corporate sponsorships and iTunes to, potential felony. Markieff Morris is reportedly extremely unhappy in Phoenix. They traded his brother. They traded his twin. They separated twins. Phoenix, what are you doing? They shipped out Marcus, and they're probably going to wind up shipping out Markieff. So, Harrison, you wrote an article for Silver Screen and Roll listing the reasons why they should not bring in Markieff Morris. I wrote an article. I wouldn't necessarily saying, you know, I'm not necessarily a huge proponent of bringing him in. There are question marks, but why don't you go ahead and start with the reasons not to?
Okay. Well, I think the biggest one, honestly, is that the Lakers drafted Julius Randle 7th overall about a year ago, and they need to see what they have in him. He missed the entire last year. He played like, I think, 13 or 14 minutes of his, like, rookie season, and then he broke his leg and he's been out, and so he said all the right things. He's like, he's had his moments where he looked really good in summer league and in preseason and things like that, but he needs minutes to play, and the Lakers already have a bunch of backup depth at the power forward position. And then, like, this also goes into the biggest reason it won't happen is not any of the reasons that we're about to list, but it's just that the Lakers don't have any assets that they would realistically want to give up. It's like their assets are basically right now, it's Clarkson, Randle, and Russell. And they're not going to trade any of those guys for Markieff Morris. Like, you know, they could offer Ryan Kelly and Larry Nance Jr. or Ryan Kelly and, like, Tarik Black or Ryan Kelly and Nick Young, but, like, you know, what a, the point is they're trying to trade Ryan Kelly, but, you know, like, Phoenix could get, I'm almost positive they could get a better offer than what the Lakers would realistically put on the table. And then there's also the stuff of, like, him and his brother, shout out to Scott Chasen, had, more technicals than like 17 NBA teams just between the two of them last year. And that was how they were on their best behavior after the Suns rewarded them and told them they would keep them together.
I mean,
and then there's also the, like, as you mentioned, there's the potential felony assault charge. And right now it's allegations. We don't know what actually happened, and they're going to have to go to court because that's what you get to do. But it doesn't sound good. I just, like maybe you should outline the reasons why it, like, why this wouldn't be a horrible idea.
Well, and then, and also kind of piggybacking on that whole felony thing, that little thing, that pink elephant in the room, you also have a really young team, and young players can definitely be impressionable, right?
Yes.
And you know, I'm sitting here, I'm supposed to be the proponent of it, but you know, for those who have that as a worry, it's legitimate. The retort to it, or the one that I outlined in my article I wrote for Perform Blue and Gold, also, we stink at plugging our own website because none of the clicks that are going to be going away from this article are going to go back to our website. But for Perform Blue and Gold, I wrote that, you know, you have Kobe as, you know, who's not going to put up with much crap in what could and very well probably will be his last season. You know, we'll get to that a little bit later. But you have that, and then you have, you know, the fact that if Markieff screws up his next destination, wherever it might be, he's probably going to be out of the league. You know, if you know, talent typically wins out, but if you're, you know, not a prodigious talent and you keep screwing up, there's no guarantee that you're gonna stick around for another contract. So those two things I thought would keep Morris a little bit grounded. In terms of why to get him, I basically start with the fact that he's been pretty good. I mean, you could make the argument last year he was the Suns' best player, averaging 15-6, shooting 47% from the field, 32% from three, 76% from the free throw line. And he started, I believe, 82 games last season and played 81 the year before. I think, you know, some of his efficiency numbers went down a little bit, you know, going into last year, whereas, you know, the year before he was, you know, a little bit more efficient. So I gave him the nickname on Twitter, Markieff Lessus Morris, because why not? And also,
iTunes, if you could only see my face right now.
Harrison just got a shade whiter. That was crazy. But his brother, if we're going by the same last name, his brother, Marcus Lessus Morris, could have been a character out of Gladiator. So whoever directed Gladiator, you missed out on that opportunity. But getting back to why Markieff, you know, makes sense is right now the Lakers are basically, you know, still in the asset acquisition mode or stage of their rebuild. And Markieff is undeniably an asset. You're willing to go that far, right? He's young, he's pretty good, he's cheap, and he's been healthy. Those are things you'd want out of, you know, a potential asset.
I'm willing to say he could be an asset. Right okay. Now, I don't know how much of an asset he is. I mean, an asset's like whether or not it has value. And right now, it looks like the Suns may have to take very little for him. But yeah, could he be an asset down the line? Absolutely. Like, we've seen guys over their careers that like come off as, you know, a little unhinged, a little crazy, but like get it together and end up becoming very productive players. Right. So like everybody, sometimes we forget how young these guys are and like how stupid we were, you know, when we were that, although he might be older than me, but,
Still stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I would 100% agree with that. And so, you know, like everybody makes mistakes. And so like, who knows if maybe he ends up getting it together and he's a model citizen the rest of his NBA career. Like that's, it could happen. I don't see that as the most likely outcome.
Right. And the other thing too is he wouldn't be available if he didn't have these question marks though. Yeah. Right. So, you know, is it a perfect situation? No, but sometimes when you're in that, you know, asset acquisition phase, you have to take advantage of your competitor's shortcomings. And in this case, if the Lakers are able to acquire him, which, you know, like you said, if any other team in the league pretty much steps in and, you know, offers or is willing to offer a package, chances are it's going to be better than the Lakers. Like that's the end be all and end all to this situation, is that the Lakers simply don't have the pieces, you know, if it turns into a bidding war for Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I mean, guys in this situation never go for, you know, what you anticipate they would go for. And, you know, if the Lakers could take advantage, I mean, you have to make the call, right? You'd be fine if you found out that that Mitch called over to Phoenix and, you know, kicked the tires. Would you be angry at the call?
He should do his due diligence. I just think that there are more reasons why it's not a good idea than that there like are reasons that like it's palatable. Mm-hmm. The other thing is he's demanding a trade because he's not getting to play with his twin brother. Like, I double checked the roster and the Lakers don't have Marcus Morris on the team. Mm. So, you know, I think that's another potential pitfall. I mean, maybe he ends up like I said in my article, he ends up like he just is so upset with the Suns. He doesn't care about playing with his brother as much anymore as the fact that they just traded his brother away and he's willing to go to another team and get it together just because they're not the Suns.
Did you read Tom Ziller's article about, you know, why, you know, they should be angry at themselves? Now, he basically, for those who haven't, Tom Ziller wrote for SB Nation that, you know, if the Morris twins are pissed at the Suns, they should really be kicking themselves because, you know, Markieff took a probably pretty significant pay cut to continue playing with his brother. And did so under the impression that he would continue playing with his brother for the foreseeable future. And when it looked like LaMarcus Aldridge was a possibility, you know, the Suns dumped Marcus to Detroit, and now Markieff is pissed. But at the end of the day, it's a business. And I just can't imagine somebody is so tied to their brother that they're unwilling to play in the NBA unless they are alongside said brother.
Yeah, I think that seems unlikely, but it is something to think about that, you know, this is a guy that when he doesn't get what he wants, he just starts demanding a trade, or like when he doesn't have his selected teammates or he feels like the organization disrespected him rather than, you know, just continue playing or, you know, maybe make a little bit of noise, but he just came out. I mean, you read what he said, like demanded, mm-hmm. like, you know, when he was demanding a trade. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just not sure that that's like you said, young players are impressionable. I just don't know if they're a whole lot. I just don't think that the good potential good that could come of it outweighs the negatives.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not necessarily hugely on the side of, we have to get this guy, go out, give up whatever it takes. That is, you know, if we found out in the next 5 minutes that the Lakers traded, you know, let's say Clarkson for Morris, iTunes would have to title.
Would have to change our podcast to explicit.
Yeah, we'd be explicit at that point. Harrison and I would just start screaming cuss words, and it wouldn't go well. So you know, it's hard to call that news. It's complete speculation. I, you know, if I were a betting man.
It's pre-news.
It's definitely not actually
news. We're breaking a story before it's actually a story. We have sources.
That segment was sponsored by Sauces. Sauces for when your wife cooks something that's a little dry. Shout out to Jen. So the...
Did you just call your wife's cooking dry on this podcast? God.
It happens. It happens. I overcooked the steaks
Hopefully
last night.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
I overcooked the steaks last night. It happens to the best of us. So the next little tidbit that we were going to get to was the NBA schedule being released yesterday. And, you know, the big things that we were able to glean from it. Gary Kester actually wrote, this time we're going to be good at our jobs. We're actually going to plug our own site. Gary Kester wrote his 5 games that stick out to him. You know, you have the opening night, obviously, is a big one. And for me, I wrote for Forum Blue and Gold because, again, I suck at this, that a month into the season is what I'm looking forward to most. But for you, what's the overriding theme that you're taking away from the schedule, Harrison?
Well, for me, it's just the finality of the fact, like, these are the last, you know, hopefully like 82 or so, but like, I don't think anybody expects Kobe to play in every single game this year, but these are this is the last season we're going to get to see Kobe Bryant suit up as a professional, most likely. And that's just, for me, as a 24-year-old, like, he's been in the league, this will be his 20th year. He's been on the Lakers as long as I've watched the team and have, like, memories of the team. And it's just, like, that's been the one constant. And it's just weird to think that there's going to be a time, most likely next year, when I'm going to turn on a Lakers game and no one's going to be talking about Kobe.
I don't think it'll happen as soon as next year.
I mean, I think that there will be games where they don't really mention him, you know, because he's not on the team anymore. There will be games where they do, because he'll say something about the team, or, you know, like, he'll go on TNT and call somebody soft, or who knows, like, promote body armor. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. But, like, he's still going to be out there and around, but, like, he's not, like, there are going to be zero Lakers games with him in uniform. Yeah, is, like, more what I was meaning.
The finality. I mean, it's you know, I'm not going to equate it to death, because it's obviously nowhere near the same ballpark, but the finality of, you know, when the season ends, and Kobe may have said a week before the season actually ends, you know what, guys, this is probably it for me. That last game, I believe it's April 13th, I want to say. But that last game that Kobe plays in, well, you know, it'll probably get a little dusty in the Irwin household. Just because, like you said, we grew up with the guy. And I've made this point about the Lakers young core, that, you know, the exciting thing about, you know, what we might be able to watch is these guys grow before our eyes, how close Kobe is to the entire L.A. area, and how close Magic was to the entire L.A. area was probably directly as a result of – yeah, we watched them grow, right? When Magic made his AIDS announcement, people said they felt like they lost a family member. You know, like, people said that, you know, they remember exactly where they were when that happened. And I imagine if Kobe makes an announcement, you know, a week or two before the season, because I think if an announcement happens, that's when it would. But if Kobe makes an announcement, that's the kind of place that we're all going to remember exactly where we were when we got that Bleacher Report update, or when we saw the press conference, or whatever. It's going to be tough, you know. But that being said, it's going to be fun. I think if this is indeed his season, maybe people can watch him with some actual perspective, and not parse his efficiency stats and not, you know, kill him for being a jackass sometimes on the court. That'd be nice to see, right? That'd be interesting.
I wouldn't count on it, but yeah, I mean, you can hope.
So the last little thing of the schedule, my overriding thing, I mean, for Lakers fans, it is, you know, the potential that we might see as a Laker. I think that is by far the biggest news that we've had probably in the last 2 or 3 years, you know. But for me, you know, league-wide, when you widen your scope, it is interesting to me that they've, you know, seriously cut down on the number of stretches for teams where they play 4 games in 5 nights, the back-to-backs for teams. This tells me that they are consciously, unlike the NFL, you know, who wants to play more games and get more guys concussed and then, you know, potentially not let their family members speak at their Hall of Fame induction ceremony when, you know, the NFL might have killed them. But the NBA is trying to keep their superstars healthy, which is a great thing, right? That perspective that they're showing is great.
Yeah, I think, like we've seen it the last couple of years, just there have been, like, I've read the pieces that say that they aren't going down more often than, like, they have been. But I don't know. It just seems like we're star players out of uniform. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's because of, you know, the 365-day-a-year basketball schedule now. These guys are working all the time. They've been working their entire youth. It's not like – like, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but specialization starts so early with, like, kids in America now, where it's like, okay, this is your best sport, and we're just going to have you play only this. And, you know, you overwork those muscles if you do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that it's great. Like, the NBA, like, they're never going to be able to turn off injuries. It's not 2K. But like the closer that the NBA can come to that, I think like every fan can get behind that.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day, it's about which way can we put the best product on the floor night in, night out for the audience, right? It is an entertainment sport at the end of the day. And if this can even indirectly lead to fewer injuries, not even just for superstars, but for key role players. I mean, the playoffs were in some way marred by the fact that most of these teams outside of Golden State were dealing with some kind of injury or some player was banged up or exhausted from the wear and tear of a full 82-game season. If this does actually lead to mitigating some of that, awesome. Great move.
Yeah, I mean, look at the finals just last year, like with like Kyrie getting hurt, like after playing like probably the best defensive game of his life already on like a busted up knee, mm-hmm. but then he was out for the rest of the finals, and like I still think Golden State would have won, but you know it made the series like less entertaining than it would have been as we were watching a offensive rebound brick fest from the Cavaliers.
Right.
That you know, it was great that the finals were competitive, but good Lord, that was barely basketball at times.
And that was the only style that they could have played because of the injuries they attained. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, but with when Matthew Dellavedova is on the floor for you, chances are you're not going to be an offensive juggernaut. And, you know, if you're not an offensive juggernaut, you can't keep up with Golden State, then that's all you're left to do is
they had to do it. It just like it would have been nice if they didn't have to.
Right, right. So I think that about does it on my end. We hit Morris. We hit the schedule. We hit Kobe. Again, you are going to be able to find us on iTunes. The channel is what, Harrison?
I believe it's listed just as Lakers Outsiders, but since we're, you know, I'm going to continue our tradition of being really bad at plugs. We're going to have to throw that out there for you guys on Facebook and Twitter, because I don't know that that's finalized yet.
Right. We're still, we honestly, like Harrison said, we are not exaggerating. Right before we came on air, Harrison got the email from iTunes saying that we are approved to be broadcast on their network. So, it's still a fluid situation.
But within the next little bit, you guys will be able to download us. I know I like to, when I'm doing a long commute, listen to podcasts, so you'll be able to do that. You can listen to us while you work out. You know, hey, we're not going to judge. You can listen to us whenever you want. It's all your call now. We give our viewers that freedom.
We're not going to judge. What would they be doing that we'd be judging?
Hey, man, I don't know. I don't know. I've been told my voice is nice to listen to, but, you know.
The dulcet tones of Harrison, as families are made. On that note, we're going to go ahead and sign off. We're going to go ahead and sign off.
Not what I meant, but okay.
Before we cause, you know, a second baby boom generation. We'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Lakers Outsiders. We'll have a few more shows as actual news starts to take place in the NBA. Thanks for joining, Harrison.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Possibly our best close ever.